Welcome to Scripture Beneath the Surface, a presentation to encourage God's people to embrace a life of holiness with purity of purpose. We realize that many may be offended by the encouragement to move away from the worldly lifestyle of today's church, but it is our hope that many will come to understand the message of 2 Corinthians 6, 17, and 18. Therefore, come out from among them, and be separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. We bring this to you, for we believe Jesus is coming soon. Now here is our host, Randy Smith.
Hello. Thanks for being with us. Today, I'd like to talk about the biblical concept of blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. This is a subject that many Christians consider diligently at one time or another because of concern that they might have, at one time, blasphemed the Holy Spirit themselves. It's not unusual to ask yourself the question, have I committed the unpardonable sin of blaspheming the Holy Spirit, and therefore, am I permanently condemned to hell and don't know it? First of all, if you're concerned about it, then the chances of your having committed the sin of blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is probably minimal. It's more probable for someone to have committed the sin of blaspheming the Holy Spirit if they don't think about it than if they do think about it. If you're a Christian and you're concerned about whether or not you have at some time blasphemed the Holy Spirit, then you're most likely experiencing a soul-searching assessment which every Christian experiences at some time in their lives. However, in order to make an accurate assessment of whether or not you have committed the unpardonable sin, you will have to understand what blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is and what it isn't. Let's look at two portions of Scripture. The first Scripture is Mark 3, 28 and 29. It says, "Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the sons of men and blasphemies in whatever they blaspheme. But he that blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven, but is in danger of eternal damnation." Now, notice that Jesus himself said very clearly that all sins will be forgiven except one sin, and that's the sin of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. So, first of all, if you're going to do an accurate assessment of your salvation assurance, you will have to recognize that whatever you did in the past or will do in the future is, according to Jesus' own words, forgivable. All you have to do is ask God to forgive you. Jesus said all sins will be forgiven, not just some sins. Even blasphemy will be forgiven. The only exception is blasphemy, which is directed against the Holy Spirit. To blaspheme means to speak evil of God, or to attribute evil to God. And it is also blasphemy to speak evil concerning anything else that is in alignment with God's goodness, such as speaking evil about a person who is righteous. But there's a very good reason why blasphemy against God's goodness is forgivable, and the sin of blaspheming the Holy Spirit is not forgivable. The answer lies in the nature of understanding the witness that God gives, and the witness that Jesus Christ gives, and the witness that the Holy Spirit gives. Let me explain what I mean. God's word is a testimony that he gives of himself, and we humans believe his testimony when we hear it with our ears. In addition to this, Jesus Christ gave testimony that God's word was true by demonstrating God's word. And the church, which is the body of Christ, continues to demonstrate it on a daily basis. We humans also believe the testimony of Christ by seeing it acted out with our eyes. Yet, in both testimonies, whether it's the hearing of God's testimony or the seeing of Christ's testimony, still we understand and comprehend the goodness of God's Word by the use of our physical senses. We are humans. We have five physical senses: hearing, smelling, seeing, touching, and tasting. It's through our physical senses that we understand the testimony of both God and His Son. But not so with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God does not reveal the truth of God through our eyes or our ears, nor through any of our other physical senses. The testimony that the Holy Spirit gives of God's goodness is not seen with physical eyes, and it is not heard with physical ears. And yes, certainly the testimony of the Holy Spirit is in conjunction with the testimony of God and of Jesus Christ, for there is only one God whose three persons cannot be separated completely apart. But the Holy Spirit confirms that God's Word is true by testifying to our spirit man. Humans know that 2 and 2 make 4, and we humans can read words and see actions and make logical determinations as to whether what we've seen and heard makes sense or not. But to know something is true in our hearts without being able to organize it into a sequence of logic is not something that is a natural human trait. In fact, the only way that the Holy Spirit can witness to you of God's truth is to witness to your spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak to your physical ears, and it doesn't demonstrate itself to your physical eyes, but it does speak to your spiritual ears, and it does demonstrate itself to your spiritual eyes. The Spirit of God reveals the truth to man through man's spirit. It is by your own spirit that you recognize the moving of the Holy Spirit within you. If you receive the Holy Spirit of God, it is because you recognize it with your own spirit. You won't be able to assess the testimony of the Holy Spirit with your physical eyes or physical ears, but you definitely will be able to assess that testimony with your spirit. This is why the Bible talks about seeing with spiritual eyes and hearing with spiritual ears. Many times Jesus said quite plainly, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." In addition to spiritual testimony, there is another aspect of the Holy Spirit's communication which is contrary to the physical senses. The Bible explains that the Holy Spirit does not speak in the languages of earth, but, as it says in Romans 8:26, with groanings which cannot be uttered. God testifies to us with the Word. Jesus testifies to us by speaking that word and then demonstrating it. But the Holy Spirit of God doesn't talk to us in human language, but in the Spirit. Therefore, any assessment as to the truth of the Holy Spirit's testimony of God has to be assessed by our own spirit rather than by judging the words or actions. And here's where we zero in on the question of why blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is an unforgivable sin. If, in the day of judgment, a man is condemned for blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, that man will not be able to claim misunderstanding as an excuse. Misunderstanding can come from the spoken word, and you can also misunderstand someone's actions. But you cannot misunderstand the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit doesn't communicate in the spoken words. Yes, sure, when the Holy Spirit moves a person to speak, the body of the person presents what the Holy Spirit has put into their heart, and then they display that with their body. When a person is inspired, they put that inspiration into words and actions by the use of their flesh and blood body. But the body is only the tool which is used to outwardly demonstrate what the Spirit inspires that person to do. Inspiration will cause words and actions to form within the person's heart, and their body will demonstrate those words and actions. And here's another important aspect of this. We can misinterpret what the inspiration of the Spirit of God is, but we cannot misinterpret the good or evil of it. The Holy Spirit is holy. Evil spirits are evil. If this wasn't so, then you would have no way of resisting evil, nor have any way to receive the good. When we are moved by a spirit, whether it's an evil spirit or God's Holy Spirit, we will recognize one essential thing every time. We will recognize whether the inspiration we are receiving is a godly spirit or whether it is an evil spirit. The interpretation of just exactly what that spirit is inspiring us with may be difficult to understand in comparison with the Word of God and with the example set forth from Jesus Christ. But make no mistake, no evil spirit can move you, can inspire you, without you recognizing whether it is agreeable to you or disagreeable to you. We all have convictions of what is right and what is wrong. When God's Spirit inspires you, you may not always be able to comprehend how it lines up with the Word of God, but you will always know what is agreeable to you and what is disagreeable. This is a basic ability which God has given to mankind. Ever since the day that Eve ate fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, mankind has been able to recognize good and evil. We all have been given the power of choice. That is our gift from God. But when we receive inspiration from the Holy Spirit, the condition of our heart and its innermost thoughts, convictions, and beliefs will determine if we like what we feel inspired to do or if we don't like what we feel inspired to do. There will be no excuse if you stand before God and are condemned for blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Every person has thoughts, convictions, and beliefs down deep within, and those thoughts, convictions, and beliefs will determine what spirit will or will not be allowed to dwell within you and to inspire you. Your heart will decide whether or not God's Holy Spirit is welcome or if it is rejected. And if you reject the Holy Spirit because you don't want it, it will not be because you misunderstood, for the inspiration of spirits do not come by human language or human logic. Therefore, this brings up the question, have I ever considered the Holy Spirit of God to be evil? Now, be careful not to make the mistake of thinking that rejecting God's Word is the same thing as attributing evil to the Holy Spirit. We're all sinners, and there certainly was a time when the Word of God was presented to you prior to the day you received it. And many Christians are presented with the Word of God for many years before they finally give in and receive it for themselves. This doesn't mean that they considered the Holy Spirit to be evil, but only that their flesh still had too strong of a hold on them for them to give up and relinquish control of their lives to God. We all have struggled at times with our fleshly desires, and we've all had times when the desires of our flesh had the upper hand over us. Being caught up in sin is not the same thing as considering the Holy Spirit to be evil. When the Word of God first comes, many people resist giving into it. And the reason they resist takes many forms. It may be that the word they hear doesn't quite make sense yet. It may be that the Word of God, which was demonstrated to them by the body of Christ, was not quite accurate because of the church inability to present a perfect example of God's Word as Christ did. But this doesn't mean that the person thinks what he is feeling about God is evil. It just means that either misunderstanding is present concerning his understanding of God's Word, or that his flesh still has too much power over him and he isn't ready to give in yet. However, once a person does reject the inspiration of God's Spirit, then that man is doomed. God will not overlook this sin of blasphemy because the man clearly rejects God's goodness. It's no misunderstanding of word or actions, but an outright rejection of feeling which comes from the inspiration itself. God knows that if His Holy Spirit is rejected, it is only rejected because that person has evil down inside him, in his innermost thoughts, convictions, and beliefs. This is a final proof of what the man is. Eventually, the man will demonstrate the truth of this with the words and actions of his flesh. The testimony the man gives by his life will demonstrate which spirit has found a place to reside in him. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 1:13 that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit is our seal, which ensures that the record of our salvation is certain and that it cannot be altered. However, if the seal of that promise of salvation is removed, then the record can be altered. Let me give you an example. Think of the concept of sealing a document with wax and then imprinting that wax with an engraved ring. In biblical times, this was a normal procedure. The document was folded, the wax was dripped onto it to seal it, and then the wax was imprinted with the person's personal insignia. The wax was the seal. The imprint was not the seal, but only demonstrated who sealed the document. If the wax seal was broken or removed, the document was then subject to possible alteration. When someone received a document, they would notice if the seal had been broken. If it had been broken, then the person who received the document would have no confidence that the contents were accurate. However, if the seal was still intact, then they would know that the document had not been altered and that the document actually did contain the words of the sender. It's the same thing as if we are the document which proclaims that we are saved, and that the promise is to us from God that we will be redeemed when Jesus comes back for us. The Holy Spirit is that wax seal on our document which promises eternal life. If we reject the Holy Spirit by considering Him to be evil, and in essence, saying by either our words or by our actions that we don't like that Holy Spirit of God, then we have removed the seal of our salvation. The document can no longer be considered to be accurate, for the seal has been broken. In order to break this seal, you would have to consider the spirit that comes down from God to be bad. You would have to love the spirit of evil and dislike the spirit of God. To be caught up into sin is not the same thing as considering the Holy Spirit to be unholy. But if the thoughts, convictions, and beliefs of your heart are such that the Holy Spirit can find no place to dwell within you, and evil spirits do dwell within you, then you have demonstrated that you do not consider God's Spirit to be good. You have blasphemed the Holy Spirit by attributing evil to it, in that you do not embrace it, but reject it for other spirits which are evil. God will not forgive you of this sin, for your sin was not from ignorance or from misunderstanding, but from knowledge. You cannot reject God's Spirit in error. You can only reject God's Spirit if you truly don't like it. Christians who backslide are in danger of hellfire. But even backsliding can be forgiven if there is genuine repentance. However, if the backsliding has eaten into you further than just into your flesh, and has eaten into your spirit, and you no longer think that God is good any longer, then your sin is unpardonable. Christians are Christians because they love God, and because they love the things of God. The wicked are evil because they love wickedness. They embrace the things of this world and reject the good things of God. And when Christians fall into sin, there still remains a true conviction of the goodness of God, and that never changes. When the true conviction of God's goodness is exchanged for a true conviction that God is not good after all, you have willfully turned to sin. And as Hebrews 10:26 says, "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins." The sacrifice Jesus gave to all of us is the sacrifice that cleanses us from sin when we want to do righteousness. When we no longer want to do righteousness, then the sacrifice which has been given by Jesus Christ is rejected. Once that happens, we will never find another sacrifice which will appease the anger of God. True Christians may find themselves caught up in sin. Regrettably, this does happen. However, if you feel guilt, if you feel remorse, if you feel sorrow of heart because you know you are displeasing God, then all you have to do is to turn around and come back to God and repent. As Jesus said, all sins outside of the sin of blasphemy of the Holy Spirit will be forgiven. However, if you continue to turn away and do not come back, how will He ever forgive you? You can only be forgiven when you repent. Without repentance, you have only demonstrated that you really don't like God after all. You have demonstrated that you love the things of this world rather than the things of God. Don't be deceived. Willful sin is when your heart is convicted that God is evil, and you therefore reject the moving of His Holy Spirit. Your question to yourself is whether or not you have ever blasphemed the Holy Spirit. And my answer to you is to assess what your true feelings are about God. Since the day you were saved, have you ever come to the conclusion that God's Holy Spirit is evil? Have you ever come to the conclusion that the Spirit of God is something you don't like? If your answer to both of these questions is no, then all you have to do is repent for the sin that has found its way into your flesh. And if you've already done this, your sin will be forgiven, just as Jesus promised that it would be. If you've never lost the conviction that the Holy Spirit of God is good, then you have never committed the unpardonable sin.
You have been listening to Scripture Beneath the Surface. We hope you've enjoyed today's message and thank you for being with us. If you would like a copy of today's message, please contact us and ask for message number 107, What is Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? We have available a list of our messages with short explanations, CDs, and written transcripts. We have available a study on Revelation 13 entitled Image of the Beast and a study on Revelation's short synopsis. As long as the Lord enables us, we will provide all of our materials free of charge. Our email address is preparationministries@gmail.com. Preparation Ministries is all one word. Our email address again is preparationministries@gmail.com. Our postal address is Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. For more information, comments, and questions, please contact us. We would like to hear from you. If you would like to speak with Brother Smith with any questions, please call him at 269-763-2114. Please be assured that you will not be asked for any donations. We believe that God will supply our need as He sees fit. God's Word is freely given. Thank you again for listening to Scripture Beneath the Surface. And now here is Randy with a closing thought.
You know, there's an interesting portion of Old Testament Scripture that symbolically demonstrates the concept of a person going past the point of no return. It's a scripture which gives some insight into whether a person can still be redeemed or if that person has crossed over the line. It's found in Leviticus chapter 14, and it describes the method of evaluating a plague which has been found in the walls of a house. If the plague of mold, mildew, or other such appearance is determined by the priest to be deeper than the surface of the wall, then the house was to be shut up for 7 days. After this time, the walls are again inspected, and if the plague has spread, the affected stones and surrounding debris and dust are to be removed and thrown away outside of the city into an unclean area. New stones are then put in their place with new plaster. This is the cure for the plague of a house. However, if the plague returns again, then the house is to be torn down completely and cast away outside of the city into an unclean area. The house is no more. This same principle applies to humans in a symbolic sense. Jesus is our high priest who inspects us. We are the dwelling place in which God's Holy Spirit resides. We are His house. When we have a spot on us because of sin, which is continuing to spread, and which is more than a surface problem, He takes away that which has been contaminated by the plague and repairs our damage. However, if the problem returns and it is determined that the sin is so deep within us and so ingrained that it has not only affected our outward person, but has infected us so deeply that it has infected our soul, then there is nothing left but to tear down the house. It's the same thing with blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. When the wickedness is deeper than can be rooted out and repaired, when the whole head is sick, when the whole heart has turned away, then the Holy Spirit cannot dwell in the house any longer, for the house is irreparable. It must be torn down and cast away forever. Thanks for being with us.